My dad's desire through CWH was to glorify and honor God, help people come to know Jesus, and comfort God's people. In today's message, Go and Tell, Dad speaks of the living Christ instructing us to be a witness for Him by telling the good message to the world.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Here it is, another week rolled by, and here we are. We're going to all gather together all over the world and gather around the throne of grace. And I have a sermon today. I know you're going to like it. It's when Jesus met with His disciples after the resurrection, and He comes in His resurrected body, and they're gathered together, and He meets with them, and He gives them the commission, what He wants them to do, go and tell the good news to all the world. So maybe you can call a friend, tell them to tune us in. We're going to have a good time in the Word of God today. But first, I want to share some letters. And I just thank you all for writing. And here's a letter from Seattle, Washington. And this man writes and says, "My wife and I look forward to your service every Sunday. I've had many new insights of Jesus' love in my life since watching your service. You have brought me to the personal Jesus, not just another outside unknowable. God bless you and your crew, Seattle, Washington." Well, that's exactly right. Jesus Christ is real. He's not some philosophy or anything like that. He's an actual living human being. And He is a man in heaven. He's God, man, and He's interceding for us. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. Here's Overland Park, Kansas. "I'm disabled and watch your worship hour on Channel 10. I live in a 12-story building for the elderly and the disabled. Recently, I started a Bible study in my apartment for a small group of people. I'm requesting your study, 7 Reasons Why I Know I'm Going to Heaven, so our group can study that." And so here's the 7 reasons I know I'm going to heaven. We have a little Bible study called the New Song, New Song. And it's free and postpaid. And at the end of the program, I'll give you our address. So get your pencil and paper ready. And this is a wonderful little study. And it's 7 reasons from the Bible, from the Word of God, why I know I'm going to heaven and you can have the same assurance. I just rejoice in such a wonderful salvation. Here's a letter from Pelican Rapids, Minnesota. "Thank you for coming into our living room every week. Love all of you." Well, we just thank you for opening your door, and we love you too. And we love you because we love Jesus. And we want Jesus to be known throughout the whole world. And of course, this lady, I think, is a Christian. I don't know for sure, but I think she probably is. And so we love to be with you and minister God's word. And it encourages you, and then it encourages us when you write. And if you don't write or nothing, you can at least pray for us. And we'll use that to the glory of God. One more letter I want to share. Oh, this, I love this. Just listen to this. "Sioux Falls, South Dakota, please pray for my limited sight, that it may continue with me as long as I'm on this earth. I'm 90 years old." And then listen to this, what she said. "You brought me to the Lord. You brought me to the Lord, 90 years old. You know who brought her to the Lord? The wonderful Holy Spirit spoke to her heart and told her, 'I want to come into your heart. I want Jesus to come into your heart.' And she prayed and opened her heart. And what you need to do, you can do just what this dear lady did. You just pray, 'Dear Jesus, I've sinned against you and I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to just come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll live for you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus.'" Just use your own words. Forget the thee and the thous and all of the rest, and just ask Him to come in. You know, He tells us in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any person, any man, any woman, any child, I was a child 10 years old when He knocked at my heart. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." But here's the secret. You've got to open the door. Well, you say, "How do I open the door?" Well, how do you open the door if somebody knocks on your door? You just open the door. You say, "Come in," see? And say, "Dear Jesus, please come into my heart. Take away my sin." Just use your own words. He knows your heart, and He'll enter your heart, and you'll have eternal life, and you'll have peace. I don't know if you get goose pimples. Everybody reacts differently. But I know one thing I can tell you, you'll have peace. You'll know that Jesus is there. He'll give you peace. And where he comes, that's what he does. He brings peace and comfort and strength. And so I hope that you'll pray that prayer if you haven't done so before. And here's this lady, 90 years old. It's never too late. The only time it's too late is after you die. And after death, the judgment. That's what God tells us in the Bible. After death, the judgment. And that is that after death, you're going to be in heaven or hell. And you know what? You are the one that's going to decide. I'm not going to do it for you, and your friends won't do it for you. If the ball is in your court, and you have to ask Jesus to come into your heart. And then it says, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And my favorite verse is John chapter 5 and verse 24, where Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath that second hath everlasting life. And then he goes on, he says, and shall not come into condemnation. That is, he won't go into hell, but is passed from death unto life, eternal life. Oh, glory. And so if you prayed that, get your pencil and paper, and we'll give the address at the end of the service, and we'll send you some literature. So God bless you. Thank you for writing. I hope many more will write for us. And so now I want to look at our scripture for today. And we're thinking about the Lord Jesus, and he's been crucified, and now he's risen. And last weekend, we talked about and studied about how the wonderful resurrection of Jesus from the tomb. We had Easter Sunday, high point of the church year. And so he's dead 3 days and three nights, and now he comes back to life again. And he's going to come, and he's going to meet with his disciples, and he's going to give them a message. And he has the same message for us that he had for them that second Easter Sunday in Jerusalem. Jesus tells us that he wants us to go and tell the good news of the gospel to all the world. Go and tell. In other words, he says that he's going to ascend into heaven, and he's going to put this work into our hands, and we are to carry the gospel to all the world. And that starts in your hometown, in your home, in your own home maybe, and in your neighborhood, and then all around the world. And we can't go all around the world ourselves, but by contributing to like a Christian Worship Hour, for instance, we cover 90% of the world by shortwave radio. And so God is getting the word out to all the world, and many by television. And so he wants us to go and tell the whole world. And he talks about it in John chapter 20 and verses 19 to 23. And so this is what he does. He points it out. Then at the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, and that's, by the way, why we worship on Sunday. It's the first day of the week. That's the day that the early church worshiped on, because it's the resurrection day. And so that's why we worship on Sunday. And so he says, at the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and he stood in their midst, and he saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And then he said something that has been so misunderstood. I want you to listen carefully. He said to them, whosoever sins ye remit, they shall be remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they shall be retained. John 20, verse 23. And what Jesus is saying is, I'm going to give you the gospel. And when you preach that gospel, it's up to you to tell the world. And if you don't tell the world, you're responsible for that. But if you tell the world and they reject it, you've done your part. You've done all you can. So let's look at this passage for a few minutes. Jesus appears to his disciples, not in a public place like at the temple, but in a closed, locked room. And some people, many people believe maybe it was the upper room. We don't know. John tells us the doors were locked for fear of the Jews. And then and among all of the disciples, 10 of the apostles were there. And there were men and there were women as well as men gathered together. And 10 of the apostles were present. Judas was absent and Thomas was absent. And they were gathered in some private room. They had the doors bolted and locked. Their hearts were filled with fear and trembling. And why were they fearful? Because outside that door, there was the awful hatred and hostility of the Jews toward Jesus. And it was all over Jerusalem. Jerusalem was full of it. And they had just crucified the leader of the Christian movement. And now the people were all afraid because the hostility was there and the hatred was there. And you talk about hatred in the world. We got it now, but it wasn't anything like this. And the people, the Christians, the disciples knew it, and they feared it, and they feared it with good cause. And because maybe this murderous hostility would break out again, and they killed our leader, maybe he would kill them. Maybe they'd take them to the cross. It was a terrible time, a fearful time, and they're all gathered together thinking about Jesus and shivering on what might happen. And while they're in there consoling each other and helping each other, suddenly and startlingly, Jesus Christ is standing before them right there in the midst. He is there in person. It is unbelievable. They say, am I dreaming? Is it an apparition? Is it true? And yes, it is true. It is Jesus, and they knew him beyond a doubt. He had come to them in a supernatural way. The door had not been opened. The bolts were still in place. Everything was set, and there he was in person. And then he talks to them, and the first thing he says is, peace be unto you. Shalom. Shalom, peace be unto you. Oh, my soul, that's the one thing they did not have. They had no peace at heart because they thought they could be killed at any minute. And they're shivering and they're shaking. But Jesus said, shalom, peace be unto you. Then having said that, he showed them his hands and his side so that there could not be any possible mistake. It was Jesus. Jesus is saying, see these marks of the crucifixion? I was dead upon that cross. You saw me, you knew it. And now I am alive, and I will be alive forever. So don't be afraid. Peace be unto you. And then John tells us, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Yes, the doors were still bolted, and the angry Jews were outside, and they were in imminent danger of death. But in their hearts, they were happy, and the fear is gone because of the risen Christ is there. And that made the difference. And he says, peace be unto you. And I'm going to tell you, friends, I don't care what this world comes to, and I tremble sometimes, and only God can put an end to this awful turmoil worldwide. Wherever we'll go, there's problems and uprisings and hatred and killing and murders and persecuting the church. But we don't have to be afraid. We don't fear because we have the risen Christ. And come ever hell of itself, we'll face it because Jesus is in our heart and our soul, and he is the victor over life, over death, and no one can harm us and hurt us unless God lets us suffer for him, and he does that sometimes. We're going to talk about that. And so then Jesus makes a statement. He makes a statement, and he says, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. Now notice this. Jesus says, peace be unto you. Two different places, two different times. Why is he repeating himself? Because he's repeating it and because he's saying peace be unto you with two different meanings. The first meaning is that he's telling us peace be unto you. Quiet, he's quieting their fears. He's quieting their hearts, settling their hearts. He's giving them comfort and he's giving them a hope, and he's giving them joy. He's giving them courage to move on, and he's just taking away all their fears. And so he says, peace be unto you. Now he says again, peace be unto you. But he says this, he says, so as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Now he's telling them something different. He's not telling them, he's already settled their hearts and their souls, and they're rejoicing and they're not afraid anymore. But now he's going to say something else. He's going to give them a work to do, a responsibility, and that's for you and for me if we name the name of Christ. And he's telling us that this rests upon us. Before the cross, Jesus had told them they were to be his messengers, his ambassadors, his witnesses. They were to go out. But the cross of Christ, with the agony and anguish and the despair and the nightmare of it all, they forgot about that commission because of the fear. So Jesus now, he's calling them back. And he say, listen, he reminds them of their mission. He says, he brings them back into focus again. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. You see, God has sent his Son into the world on a mission, and he has the authority from God for that mission. And it was delegated to Jesus Christ. God the Father told Jesus Christ to go into the world, and he told him that he was to preach the gospel. Well, that's exactly what it was. It was given to Jesus. And now Jesus is there with the disciples, and he is passing it on to them, to the followers. He's going to be at the right hand of the throne of God interceding for us while we're here doing the work. And so he said, even so send I you. And so he says, go out to the world and witness. I have the authority. And on that authority, I am telling you to go and to be a witness. And then notice what Jesus did. And I think there's great significance in this. After he tells them to go into the world, then he showed them his hands and his side. He showed them his scars. And after that, he said, peace be unto you. As the Father sent me, even so send I you. And he was showing his disciples his way of service, and it's the way of the scars. Not some soft, easy life, not some mamby-pamby way of living, not some luxurious sitting in the palaces, the soft life of the pampered, but instead, it is the way of the scars. It's the way of the cross. It's the way of suffering. It's the way of self-denial. It's the way of leadership. It's the way of hardship. It's the way of hardness. It's the way of giving ourselves as a sacrifice. And oh, Jesus, let me see your scars. Let me agonize and suffer with you. And by the grace and goodness of God, help me to be willing if I have to carry the scars, not the awards that the world gives us, but the scars that we carry. And he won't say when we meet him, what are your honors? He'll say, show me your scars. And oh, you know, every week we're praying all the time. Every week we pray for another, for the persecuted church. And they are in the world now where they are getting their scars and giving their life. And we ought to be willing to do it too. And in America, oh, we have it so easy. We have it so easy that we're just not good, strong Christians at all. And if we had a little battle, it would make us stronger. And our faith would get stronger and our determination would get stronger. That's what Jesus Christ is telling them. And he says, these scars, be willing to suffer. Be willing to carry some scars. Be willing to walk the way of the cross, because it's the way that your blessed feet trod. Lord, that's the way you went. It was your path. He showed me his hands and his feet, and he's calling us to the way of the cross. The cross is a part of it, an important part of it. The resurrection from the dead is a part of it. But there's more to it, because here we're told in the 22nd verse, this is the 20th chapter of St. John's Gospel. You know, if you don't read any book of the Bible, read the Gospel of John. I love it. It's filled. You'll grow in grace. You can't help it. Read the Gospel of John. But we read, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Now, this was a symbolic gesture. It was prophetic of something that was going to happen. They did not receive the Holy Spirit then and there, but he is telling them this. He's going to ascend into heaven. And when he gets to heaven, he's going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to empower us and give us the strength. And so he ascends into heaven. And 40 days later, the Holy Spirit descended. We call it Pentecost. And that's when the Holy Spirit came, and it was with the tongues of fire and the mighty rushing wind. And that wind covered all of Jerusalem like a tornado. The Holy Spirit was coming and entering into the hearts of his people. And he gives us the strength to go to the cross. He gives us strength to stand up to the heretics and those who are undoubting. He gives us strength to carry the scars and go on. See? So we're not alone here. Jesus is saying, I'm sending you, but I'm not sending you alone. I'm going to be with you in the Holy Spirit. And then he gave these verses. And listen, if you don't listen to anything else in this sermon, listen to this. He tells us in verse 23, whosoever sins ye remit, they shall be remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. And it can read, whosoever sins ye forgive, they are forgiven unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. This scripture is misunderstood by the clergy and the church all too many times, because no one can forgive sins but Jesus Christ. Remember that. Mark it down. And I don't care what rituals you do, and I don't care what they claim, and I don't care if they have some hocus pocus miracles or whatever. You just name it. There's only one thing to remember. The only one who can forgive sins is Jesus Christ. So what is he saying here? He is telling his disciples, I want you to go out in my name, and I want you to know that this is a commission from me, not anybody or anything else. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to preach this glorious gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel, Paul tells us, is that Jesus died, that he was rose again, and he forgives sins. That's the gospel. And he says you're to go out into the world and preach it. That's called the keys to the kingdom. That's how you get into the kingdom of God, by accepting Jesus Christ. No other way. Forget your confirmation, baptism, circumcision, oh, you name it. They all have their place. But there's only one way. And Jesus said, I am that way. The way to heaven is through a person, Jesus. And so he's telling his disciples, I'm giving you this commission. You go and tell. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit so you have the power. And what did you tell them? You were to tell them, if you receive Jesus, your sins are gone. If you don't receive Jesus, your sins are still with you and you're lost. That's all it means. It means when somebody comes forward and they pray and accept Jesus Christ, I can say, your sins are forgiven. You're going to heaven. I didn't forgive your sins. I'm affirming something that happened to you when you came, Jesus came into your heart. That's when you were saved. But when you confess with your mouth, yes, I'm accepting Jesus, I can say your sins are forgiven. And when that man says, I don't need Jesus, I got good works, I don't need anybody's help, and you go and you reject Jesus, I can say your sins are retained. You still have your sins. Got the keys of the kingdom. That's all he's saying. This commission was given by God to Jesus, and Jesus gave it to us. He didn't give it. That's part of the church's work. But basically, it comes straight from Jesus, not through the church or anybody else. It comes from Jesus to us to preach that gospel to all the world. And so what do you preach? And what do you do? This is what you have to do. You talked about it to the people of the Lord, and then you just tell them about accepting Christ. And you say, yes, I want to accept Christ. Right now, I feel like God is talking to my soul. I don't hear any bells or anything, but I just know I want Jesus. This is what you do right now. We have people do it all the time. Say, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll serve you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. And if you make that prayer, you're a child of God. You've been born again. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. All that in a second's time. And then you write to us. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Get this down now because we need to hear from you. And a Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then you write to us and we'll send it to you and we'll give you give you some information and help along the way. Now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that there'll be multitudes of people that will come to you and receive you as their Savior. And then, Lord, I pray that they'll tell all the rest of the world. So now let me give you the address, and especially I want to give it because of those of you who are on shortwave radio and you can't see our screen. And so you write to us the Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Let me give it again. The box is easy. Box 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we need your gifts and we need your prayers and we need your help. So I hope you'll write. I'm going to pray for you now. And dear Heavenly Father, we're praying for those who have opened their heart to you that they'll experience the joy and the peace that comes with it. And we're praying that you'll help all of us who name your name to go out and tell others and to pray and give so that the gospel can go out. And we, dear Lord, we pray for the brothers and sisters in Iraq who are suffering for you, suffering unto death. And so we pray you'll encourage them in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want to give my address again, give our address again, because I had one lady route and she says, you take it down too soon. I can't read it fast enough. Here it is. You write Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002. And then it's Aberdeen, South Dakota. SD, South Dakota. 57402. If you want to get us, you can get us on website, ChristianWorshipHour.net. And so I hope that you'll write, and I hope you'll help us with our work because we have to pay our way just like anybody else. And so we'll just be trusting that you'll stand by, and we'll sure do the best we can. And we want you to know that God loves you. We want you to know the Christian Worship Hour loves you. And that's the reason that we're carrying on this work. So God bless you, and next week, in Jesus' name.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.